With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom by simply visiting www.realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference today.
Welcome back to Greenwashed, here with Jaspreet and Dawn this morning. Hope you're doing well wherever you are. The sun is shining and it's looking like being a good week. Now, today on the NGO that we'll be looking at, to lead into that, I want to talk about something that you often hear on globalist platforms, stakeholder capitalism. You've heard this term from the World Economic Forum. You've heard this term even from Don, deriding it, haven't you, Don? You detest the word stakeholder?
Well, I have derided it in the past because it confuses lots of people. I mean, it seems innocuous, seems nice, seems unfair, but it's actually about undermining shareholders. Now, I want shareholders to be prime in an investment sense. I don't want to have to worry about stakeholders because who are they? How do we define them? I think we're going to find out, aren't we, Jaspreet? You're going to launch into it.
Yeah, I mean, we've often bitterly, you hear this saying that no taxation without representation, and yet they want everyone who is living in, who might not have any access to a property even, but you have to go consult all your neighbors. They want very young people to have the vote who have never paid a cent of tax in their lives, who'd have no understanding of the rating system and others and local body elections and so on.
Yes.
They keep using the word stakeholder, shareholder, someone who's put their money where their mouth is, and they are actually fiscally invested in something. And stakeholders, anyone who thinks they need to have a say because, I don't know, because they're important, or sometimes there is cause here for the, you know, remit to be extended to others. But often I think, as with most things, when you give an inch, they take a mile. We've seen that in significant natural areas that you may not see the same thing. But for me, it has been like someone else owns it, a farmer, but the government decides, hey, we have a say in this.
Hmm.
And lots of other agencies, you could have the local EV, you could have fish and game, you could have dock, you could have anyone.
Yeah, I used to have a saying, he who does the paying does the saying. Sadly, that is nothing like reality. It's just nothing like reality. And this term stakeholder, when I analyze it, going back to my directorship days, it was all through the documents I used to read, and none better than coming from the Institute of Directors. It was deep in stakeholder, the word stakeholder as opposed to the word shareholder.
Shareholder.
So, you know, it's been all around us again. Comfortably numb I was, comfortably numb everybody else is. They see nothing in it. But Jaspreet, I know you've got a lot of stuff lined up here today, and we're just going to give a wee taster of what's about.
The own nothing, be happy sort of communism, the stakeholder communism.
Nothing to see here.
So this is a short clip, if I can hopefully get to this now live during the show, about this documentary by Richard Jeffs. And you hear this voice that you might have heard earlier, Klaus Schwab and his cronies speak about the Chinese model.
The Chinese model is certainly a very attractive model for quite a number of countries.
Led by one of the most powerful people on the planet, G20 governments are discreetly transitioning us to another political system called stakeholder capitalism.
It's the funeral of shareholder capitalism and it's the birth of stakeholder capitalism.
You have shown us the way forward.
I'm a former TV producer and now the CEO of a tech startup who's rejected stakeholder capitalism after discovering what it is.
Like the Chinese state capitalism system, stakeholder capitalism places restrictions on the way we run our companies by forcing us to put the interests of a group of stakeholders first.
Soon, however, stakeholder capitalism will be mandatory for everyone.
We're announcing the UK's intention to mandate climate disclosures across the economy.
In this series, I discover how the stakeholders are propagating the transition.
It's a race against time to keep stakeholder capitalism on track.
By manipulating us to believe shareholder capitalism is making many of us oppressed.
Trans rights are human rights.
Reform
and fear climate change as an existential threat.
Just stop oil!
People are dying. Families are fleeing their homes.
After indoctrinating us to want another system, I learn how the stakeholders are propagating stakeholder capitalism as being better for people and planet.
This is the best time for leaders to come together for the world to become more inclusive, more sustainable.
And how this strategy was successful for shifting China to communism.
What's going on in our school and in our country is really a replay of the Cultural Revolution in China. The similarities are terrifying.
So what you heard there was a short clip from this documentary by Richard Jeffs, Stakeholder Communism. And many of the words you heard were from Klaus Schwab himself and others, mostly sitting on the World Economic Forum podiums and discussing how the world needs to transition, race against time, usher in a new model of a new financial system, essentially. And they call it stakeholder capitalism. Now, you might think that whatever the WEF's doing, you know, it's all just hot air. There's nothing to it. It's being spoken of in Geneva, in the UK. You also heard Rishi Sunak in that clip. But what if I told you this is happening in New Zealand right as we speak? This is happening in New Zealand. And it's funny that Don and I today had a bit of a talk about, you know, what did he learn in history as a child and what I learned in history. Because what one of the speakers in that clip mentioned was, it is like going back to the Chinese-style communism. She was having a horrible sense of deja vu, what's coming. So we're going to be talking about one of the players who's really, really big in New Zealand on talking about how we need to usher in stakeholder capitalism. And that is this entity called Aotearoa Circle. Aotearoa Circle describes itself as a public-private voluntary partnership. Now, if you've ever read anything from the World Economic Forum, it is public-private partnerships. If you've heard anything from the United Nations, it's that it's all voluntary. None of this matters. None of this matters. But as we can see, Don, it does. And it's happening in real time.
Yeah, it's all around us. And in fact, the denialists in our government don't think it's happening around us. So you'd have to think that they're part of it. I'm not saying all of them, but there's clearly people in the parliament that are right in behind this stuff. And of course, we've had a whole lot of students of the Global Leaders Forum that under Klaus's
leadership.
Auspices, leadership. Yeah. So it's interesting, Jaspreet, if I could just simplify it in my mind before we get into the detail. You know, I used to have a term that New Zealand is becoming China-like. When I was way back in 2008, I'd talk about China-like. And I probably was being a bit glib with that. But 2024, it seems to be more visible. And I don't know why others aren't seeing it. If I can see it, I'm not that quick at picking stuff up in my belief. But clearly, most people around me haven't felt this yet. So I've got we've got an education job to do. But this is what annoys me. I've been around this stuff for a long time. And when you analyze it, they are trying to herd us like animals into a corner. And we haven't given any fight back because the people that advise us are generally people on the other side who like accountancy firms, big accountancy firms, big legal firms, and many, many consultants. And if you go to conferences, and I went to lots of conferences, all these nice words were all about, and all these people were all there. You thought they were nice. You thought they were being reasonable, but they're all effectively ingratiating their pocketbook or filling their pocketbook with our money. And on top of all that, this is all about, in my opinion, weakening the middle class, which has been on a pathway upward for about 50 or 60 years, perhaps even longer. They don't like the middle class. They don't like us. And so, you know, I think it's time, this will sound a bit radical, that we herded them We rounded them up because they tried to round us up. This is, you think, you put it in your brain. Think about them trying to herd us into a wedge. Well, I think we need to start and fight back and put them in the wedge. Yep. And I'm surprised the fight back hasn't happened sooner. But I do note that, many overseas companies are starting to say that the ESG and DEI stuff is all too hard. Complying with it is all too hard. We can't comply. And of course, I think I read even recently that even BlackRock's boss talked about how ESGs are moving on from ESGs. Well, you trust that at your peril. But, all I see is problems here, big problems. And good on you for going into the detail, because as you know, I'm light on detail and just sitting in the helicopter.
Nah, I think we complement each other well. Bigger picture, into the weeds. And here I go, into the weeds. So the website is theoutieroacircle.nz. And if you go and look at it, where they say about us, they say, the Aotearoa Circle is a voluntary initiative bringing together leaders from the public and private sectors to investigate the state of our natural resources and to commit to priority actions that will halt and reverse the decline. So again, there's climate change. If there's not climate change, there's biodiversity. Everything is about nature. And incidentally, I am very much about nature, but not this monetized nature that they're talking about.
Well, we even played the song Nature at the beginning of this show. So, fair dues, we are right about all about nature. In fact, you and I work in nature. We live in nature. We actually, it's our ecosystem.
Nature is what puts food on my table, roof on our,
To use one of their terms, the ecosystem.
Oh, God.
Yeah, the business ecosystem I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it was set up around 2019 by Vicky Robertson, Sir Rob Fenwick, and Sir, and I use the word Sir very cautiously, Sir Jonathan Porritt. Our Ministry for Environment became a partner in March 2023, even though its chief executive at one time wasn't Vicky Robertson. She was in a senior role. She may not have been chief executive, was already a part of the founding group here. So James Shaw officially launched the Aotearoa Circle's leading partners at the Parliament House in March. The Secretary for the Environment then, James Palmer, was appointed to the Aotearoa Circle board as co-chair, taking over from former Secretary of the Environment. So yeah, not CEO, Secretary for the Environment, Vicky Robertson. And so this is our government, on our behalf, joining an NGO, a non-governmental organization here. And at that time, Minister Shaw said, the crisis of climate change and biodiversity are accelerating. As a leading partner, the Ministry of Environment's ongoing investment into the Aotearoa Circle helps improve the state of our land, waterways, biodiversity, and seeks to reduce carbon emissions to restore natural capital. Other partners include Department of Conservation, Fonterra, and Mercury Energy. And they also have a Rangitahi advisory panel. Of course they do, because young people, and whereas I keep saying no taxation without no representation without taxation, but everyone is represented, and there's the stakeholder sector coming in together. Now their website is stunning, the amount of work streams they are right now working on. They have a finger in every pie, don't they, Don? Right from energy to food to everything that they want to dictate our lives in very, very minute details. And yet, no one ever gave them the permission. Nobody was even asked.
No, the virtuous people put their hands up and said, we'll be leaders of this. And they have. And you look through their website and you see all these roadmaps. Doesn't matter whether it's in agriculture, energy, seafood sector, tourism, transport. It's all there.
It's all there.
When you analyze it, they say also that it's an NGO. Its funding is sort of voluntary.
And there's nothing voluntary about this.
No.
What I will, I'll pick up one of their work streams today, which is a sustainable finance, because they are very much into developing a new financial system, saying that the old one, the capitalist one, is not working anymore. And there's this final report on the Sustainable Finance Forum. And the report, you know, the easiest way ever, if I have to glean something, I do a search. I do a control F if it's a PDF or a Word document, and I look for words, and they're pretty telling. So the World Economic Forum finds a prominent mention in the Outer Euro Circle Sustainable Finance Report, because they refer to it as right in the beginning, saying the global risks landscape, and mind you, this is from 2020, is dictated by the World Economic Forum. So they don't have their own local risks to New Zealand. They have a World Economic Forum Global Risk Landscape 2020. That straight away tells you where the interests are, what they are looking at. And they say that they'll be putting into action the recommendations of the World Economic Forum. They say the World Economic Forum released a white paper on the framework of common metrics and reporting of sustainable value creation, which contains 21 core disclosures to better measure intangible value. Airy-fairy value, intangible value. They are going into the weeds here. They are not looking at the dollars alone. There'll be a whole lot of DEI or ESG figures that they'll be looking at. Number of men, number of women, number of transgenders. Are you rainbow ticked? Do you have a climate tracker? Do you have a big, do you say have an employee, some sort of a subsidy scheme for EVs? You know, all of those virtue signaling things. So these organizations like the Aotearoa Circle are not shy about saying where they are taking their lead from the World Economic Forum.
Yeah, isn't that odd? Because as you and I have talked about many times, our leaders say there's nothing in this, nothing in this at all.
This roadmap is stunning.
Yeah, either we're blind and this is just a figment of our imagination, but clearly, Jaspreet, it's not, because you've put this up in front of me today and I can see it with my own eyes, can read these words. It's all here.
So they call it the SFF, Sustainable Finance Forum's roadmap. And they say we are moving from a financial system focused on stakeholders to a financial system focused on all stakeholders, which includes the environment and the society. Now, you already see it in a smaller way, you know, try getting a resource consent for something. If you want to build something, you go ask your neighbors and so on, which, as I said, should be done in some cases. Very definitely, everyone is entitled to, you know, peace, enjoyment. And if you're going to be doing something that impacts on someone else adversely, yep, you should. But this is going beyond that, because it says, so as to preserve, enhance, and restore the planet for future generation. So who decides how do you preserve? Who decides that windmills are the preservation of our environment or destruction? Offshore wind farms, are they preservation or are they destruction? Who decides this? They. They means these unelected globalist busybodies.
Well, and aside from that, they talk about stakeholder capitalism or, you know, taking a stakeholder perspective. But in fact, this is about moving capital to their pockets more than anybody else's in the planet. They are clearly designing this to fill their own pockets more than yours. And that's the problem. This is, I don't know, it's a bit like the tulip boom in the Netherlands, was it 15th or 16th century? You know, just the tulip bulb had such a value that it couldn't be, no one could see no wrong in it until it burst. So what the question I've got is, how far are we going to allow this to go? Because it can't carry on. I look at the renewable stuff that everyone talks about, wind and solar. Is that being pushed at the expense of perhaps nuclear? is that are they pushing so hard on that to stop the nuclear option, which would be much cheaper over
Who
time?
Who would know? They are, you know, they are on a mission.
They're on a mission. And look, perhaps my example of tulips wasn't great, but it just seems all too nice, too easy. And if I look at it from the agri-financing side of it, this stuff, I've noticed a change in the banking in the last 3 or 4 years, maybe 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got tougher as farmers to be financing their systems now. And you have these client, you know, you have relationship managers. The old days you had bankers that would come out and see you, or you'd go and see them and you have a good chat and the world was okay. Now it's, you're always tripping over to, or they're trying to trip you up and trying to find a way to stop you basically enjoying your freedoms. And
yep.
I've noticed that change, and I'm sure many other farmers, let alone business people in the cities, have probably noticed it as well. And I think, you know, there is discussion about is current financing being as easily accessible as it used to be.
Definitely, and it probably not.
Probably not. And it's all because of this stuff, as far as this I'm stuff. Concerned. This stuff.
But they say, you know, they've done a handy-dandy consultation, the Stakeholder Finance Forum Fund report that I'm reading from, in case you've just joined us on the Aotearoa Circles website. It says, from July 2020 to September 2020, the initial draft recommendations were tested with a range of EV Māori leaders and stakeholders representing different groups of the financial system. So COVID was really handy. If my memory serves me right, in August, Auckland went back to Alert Level 3. Rest of the country was in Alert Level 2. Do you think people were actually looking at consultations of changing their financial systems at that point? I don't think so. And they talk about it in July 2019. They say we had 100 one-to-one interviews. 100? Pardon me? You think that's enough? 100 one-to-one interviews. But that's it. And they say that what is their desired outcome? Our desired outcome, this report declares, is for business and finance to operate within environmental, human, and social constraints and dependencies, straight from the WEF and the UN playbook, planetary constraints. We move from a financial system based on shareholders to one focused on all stakeholders. The economy is preserved, enhanced, restored for future generations. And this has all been happening, you know, when Klaus Schwab wrote the book, COVID, The Great Reset, and it came out in May 2020, or was it June? One had to wonder what sort of crystal ball the chap had to have written, you know, edited and published that book, or maybe he has a ghostwriter, who knows, that early in the pandemic that, yeah, some major crystal balls there that I have never seen the likes of.
Well, and the cynic in me says, what a silly man he was. He exposed his agenda that he had been quite subversively putting out for years. Him and his ilk. I mean, I just don't. His deputy is something else, isn't he? As well, a plus all the sycophantic sort of followers they have.
Yeah.
Perhaps he shot himself in the foot because he's released that stuff to the world. I think he was that confident. I'm positing this idea that he was that confident he had us in his hand that he was able to let it all out. And now we know it's in full view and we can now take him apart.
And it's funny how these organizations like this Aotearoa Circle we're discussing, their website begins by saying about us. We are a, you know, voluntary public-private partnership. And there's nothing going to be coerced here, no mandates. And then their report on the Sustainable Finance Forum, SFF, ends with some very mandate-like sounding recommendations. Have public-private entities, they say, explicitly include the environmental and social purposes within their constitution, statement of intent, mission statements. Have directors and business leaders encourage social purpose and long-term thinking by linking it to executive KPIs and remuneration. Develop an Aotearoa New Zealand stewardship code for asset owners, fund managers, financial intermediaries, which aligns with international leading practices, and longer-term linking licensing requirements to adopt this code. You know, the one they say is voluntary, including requiring default KiwiSaver providers to become signatories to the code.
Mm.
How voluntary is all of this?
Oh, it's that's the terminology they use, but it's all about inducements. You'll do this or you won't. And if you don't comply, you won't be as accepted into the circle.
That sounds so familiar, Don. Two classes of citizens. No one will be coerced to take the vaccine. But you later on had dear leader saying, yep, two classes of citizens. That's exactly what it is.
Yep.
So who will? Now this will be two classes of people. The one who will be banked, the one who will be debanked.
So right now we've got to have our companies and our businesses stand tall and say, no, 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 no. And I've got a big issue about just changing subject slightly for a moment. I've always had this issue about a brand for a country. And a lot of the stuff hides behind brand New Zealand, whether it's, you know, pure New Zealand or whatever. And that's a straitjacket designed to assist this stuff. It's a horrible straitjacket. Brand New Zealand or brand any, you know, when you try to brand a whole country, it's a problem. And yet New Zealand has fallen into the trap. And I just reminisce for a bit. About 2008, I met a guy called Harry Papadofloratis. He was with Colmar Brunton and he developed the slogan, I think it was pure. It was either 100% pure New Zealand.
Yeah.
No, you've got to get this right. It was 100% pure New Zealand adventure, or it was just pure New Zealand adventure. And he, when I had dinner with him one night, he was so annoyed that the slogan had been bastardized to 100% pure New Zealand or 100% pure or pure New Zealand, an amalgam of those.
Yeah.
Because he didn't ever want it to be a sort of a nation brand ever. Sadly, he passed away. And but I would love to have, you know, had him fight the fight, because he knew that this sort of thing was going to be the upshot. If it got taken over by the country and by all these people that are now being exposed, this agenda was around in the era that I'm talking about, them 20 years ago. The confidence to lift this further into our national psyche has only grown in the last 20 years. And as you're seeing here, 2019, 2020, 2021, and now, it's just, it's for all to see. The agenda's very obvious. There's no one that farmers that I work for or purchase from isn't deep in this, or supply isn't deep in this. You see it. For instance, and you know, as a dairy farmer, what you have to meet the criteria, it's debilitating, and it is putting people off business. And what happens then when you put the little people out at stress? You get more dominance by bigger players. And in a farming sense, what do you get? You get less owner operators and more corporates.
Yep.
It's just the deck of cards. And I know I'm feeling quite negative about this stuff, because we should. This is not good for us as a country. It just won't end well.
It will not end well. And it's, you know, we've sort of taken our hands off the wheels for too long. But we need to realize many of what is being proposed, these recommendations, they're going to be cast in stone. They are saying in these openly in this so-called report that we need to move towards a comply or explain structure and signal a second move to an apply or explain mandatory regime for foundational sustainability metrics disclosures. We recommend an external reporting board, the XRB, in consultation with EV Maori and others, be mandated and resourced to develop international reporting standards using the World Economic Forum's white paper as a starting point. So this, you're looking at the outer oval circle.
Yep.
Stakeholder capitalism, if you think it was just, you know, for the annual WEF trip that many of our leaders go to, go off to Switzerland and come back after, you know, a few lovely days wined and dined in an alpine resort. It is far more than that. It is very insidious, and you're going to see it affecting you in your banking, big time. What you will be funded for, what you won't be funded for. Or, you know, you look at Rabobank in Holland. It itself downgraded its entire portfolio of dairy farming, all the farms. And suddenly, those farms, other than the government, no one else will, you know, touch them now. Is that possible here? Well, I say, why not? It happened in another country, didn't it? Why can't it happen here?
Yep. And I just want to go back to that statement I made at the beginning, the quote that I of Karl Popper at the beginning of the show I read out, and it's so apt right here. And I'll just repeat it. Those who promise us paradise on earth never produced anything but a hell. And as sort of negative that is, and as sort of, you know, I don't want to be so downbeat about stuff today, but it's where we are. That's where we are. Karl Popper's got it right. Those who promise us paradise on earth never produced anything but a hell. And I think this the ilk behind the WEF trickling right down to inside New Zealand into the Aotearoa circle, it's not right, and we've just got to stop the rot.
We have, because they have already gone ahead after this, the Aotearoa Circle have, and have launched what they call the Toitu Tahua, Center for Sustainable Finance. While, and the website says, while Aotearoa Circle still sees sustainable finance as one of its core strategic themes, it now delegates the responsibility to the new Center for Sustainable Finance. If you Google sustainablefinance.nz, and we'll, you know, wrap the segment here and speak about that another time. But if you look them up, you'll see that the Aotearoa Circle's recommendations have not been a pipe dream. They have been put into concrete action.
Yeah, and these centres are similar to the ones established in the UK, in Australia, and in Canada. So, the same old players.
They're nothing if not predictable.
Same old sellouts are all there, all for us to see, but they're coming more visible. Thanks to you, Jaspreet. We're in your debt for raising this stuff, because as we've constantly said, people, this isn't for mainstream. They don't want to know about this. It's nothing to see, nothing to feel. We're just going to live our daily life and be happy. Well, sadly, this is the stuff that's perhaps been subversive for the last 20 years. It's now coming into visibility a whole lot more. And thanks to you for bringing it to our attention, Jaspreet.
We are all in this doo-doo together, Don. Well and truly. There's one thing we are in together. Well, I think on that cheerful note, it's time to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Thank you so much for joining us on Greenwash this morning.
With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom by simply visiting www.realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference today.